Happy New Year. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Lynn, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. We're broadcasting live from Burnaby Mountain, BC, Simon Fraser University's premier and only community radio station. We're located on the unceded traditional territory of Coast Salish peoples, including the Squamish, Musqueam, Coquitlam, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. So this week, I was going to do 10 of my favorite shoegaze releases from 2025, given that it's the new year. But also, I felt like there were 9 that really captured what I was looking for and what stood out to me. And I don't know, like, a lot of the other albums I did consider were albums I kind of cherry-picked through and kind of, there were a couple tracks I liked off of it, but I didn't like the whole album as a whole. And also just like, I don't know, there were a couple re-releases from 2025, like Horse Jumper of Love released a deluxe edition of Disaster Track, or Movies by Slow Pulp, which includes the live versions that were re-releases. But yeah, so honestly, these were mostly what was on my rotation last year from what was released. And I'd rather present my personal opinions than just haphazardly throw things together. I also kind of dug backwards with the shoegaze I listened to in 2025, which is kind of a common thread for me. My Spotify Wrapped was mostly Hum, who I did a deep dive on their catalog back in November. My favorites are especially Downward is Heavenward, Waves is really good, and also You'd Prefer I Were an Astronaut is a classic, of course. And then Super Heaven, which we're going to listen to today as well. Especially their Ours is Chrome era, 2015 or so. And of course, Slow Dive, Souvlaki, and Just for a Day. And then The Radio Department was one of my top 5, Lesser Matters specifically. But yeah, so I figured instead of just like making it Lynn's Spotify Rap 2.0, why not delve into the new releases that I actually liked from this year, or last year, because it's 2026 now. I highly recommend, for finding new independent shoegaze and noise artists, you look at r/shoegaze on Reddit, Rate Your Music and Last.fm. I want to try prioritizing new releases by smaller artists this year, but I find myself falling down genre-specific or niche rabbit holes. But the following albums I'll discuss aren't in any particular order. It was kind of a bit random. I kind of just went with my gut, whatever felt like it stood out to me. Up first, we are going to listen to some They Are Gutting a Body of Water, abbreviated to Tag a Bow, with their release from October, Lotto. We're going to first of all listen to the song R.L. Stein. This was 1,000% my favorite album of 2025, hands down across any genre. They Are Gutting a Body of Water. It's based off of apparently Douglas Dilgarian misunderstood a grouper lyric, and he had a dream about it, and so he made that the name of the band. I saw them live in November at the Rickshaw with Toner, Sun Organ, also very sick bands. Toner is kind of post-punky noise. Also, if you're into like new sludge, Sun Organ is great. The openers performed on the regular stage, but when Tag a Bow performed, they had a satellite stage where they all kind of like performed in a circle facing each other, which was really cool to see. And I think this is really like an homage to the antisocial, disassociative origins of shoegaze, where bands were kind of more concerned with their pedal settings and audience engagement. But yeah, I kind of have the most to say about this album, this band, across all of the albums I'm going to discuss today. But so Tag a Bow is from Philadelphia. They started off as a solo project of Douglas Dilgarian, who I previously mentioned. They kind of evolved from there, and this is their 4th album. On Lotto, a lot of the subject matter is about Douglas's experiences with substance abuse, specifically heroin addiction, that stemmed from him getting into a car accident when he was 16 and he was put on painkillers, and his sobriety and his journey into sobriety. He's been pretty open about it on the press cycle for this album, but he also did an AMA on Reddit, which I've referenced heavily in looking into this album, and it's really great how vulnerable he's been about it. And honestly, I probably wouldn't have clocked it had I not paid attention to those things, but I'll get into that in a bit. But what I love about They Are Gutting a Body of Water is their blend of shoegaze, slacker rock, They got a bit of drum and bass in some places and also just like video game music. There's even a bit of like a reggae-ness, kind of syncopation to some of their synth lines. It's very boundary pushing and I think very weird, but also it feels so unpretentious. And it's just, I don't know, it's just weirdo shoegaze hybrid music. There was also some spoken word included in the track American Food. Great track, but I think I wanted to play Arlstein because the riff is glued into my head. When I saw them live, they played a couple tracks from Lotto, but at that point, I think it had just come out because I think I saw them in November. I think that most people who have listened to They're Getting a Body of Water likely heard tracks like Texas Instruments or 8-Ball off of Destiny XL from 2019. All great tracks, but Lotto feels more concentrated and earnest. But with how mumbly Douglas's vocals are, you might not be able to catch them unless you look at the lyrics. It's my understanding that they used a really messed up setting on the keyboard and ran it through some chorus pedals tuned up to the max. It was really interesting to hear it live because a lot of the songs from Lotto and their previous works in general use the synth drum machine in some places almost as a sort of like bass line. Like when they were switching over songs or tuning, they would kind of just let it run, which was really cool. And I think on some of their earlier records, they've also just like thematically cited David Lynch as an influence. He lived in Philadelphia for a time and said that Eraserhead was heavily inspired by it. And that's kind of what one of their influences that they draw from, which kind of makes sense. They're very like surreal and like weird. And there is something kind of Lynchian about them. Douglas owns a record label called Julia's War. They have been referred to as the Motown of shoegaze revival by sources like The Fader, but also I think there's been other discourse around this as well. Some people don't necessarily agree with that. I would go as far as to say that they're up there with Creation Records and what Creation Records was able to accomplish. They had like back in the 90s, Jesus and Mary, Chain, Slow Dive, Ride, My Bloody Valentine, and kind of just like the reach that they had and the influence that they had and also the artists that they had signed to it. But what's so special about Julia's War is their prioritization of physical media, especially cassettes. So they're a community-based label that mostly showcases artists from Philly, but also represents artists from all over. There aren't any execs, contracts, or commission cuts, which can't be said for Creation Records, which eventually led to their demise, a story for another time. Artists basically will pay $200 out a month to put out tapes, and artists can kind of come and go as they please. I'm going to cover the artists signed to the label next week and talk about them more in depth, but some of those artists include Wednesday, MJ Lenderman, who was in Wednesday up until recently. He and Carly Hartzman broke up. Feeble Little Horse, Glixen, MX Lonely, Her New Knife, Total Wife, Club Soda, Guitar, Bedridden, the list continues. We'll get into that next week. But Douglas has been really encouraging for other people to follow in his footsteps. I believe on the AMA, he was like, start your own record label. Screw it. And I thought that was really cool. I don't know, just there's something about Tagabout that they're just kind of like, they do things that are weird and experimental, but they're very much just doing what they want. And they're not trying to compete with anyone. They're not trying to impress anyone. They're just doing weird stuff, which is really cool. So anyways, we're going to listen to Arlstein from Lotto up next. We'll be right back. That was R.L. Stein by They Are Gutting a Body of Water off of Lotto from October 2025. Pardon me. Up next, we're going to talk about Wednesday. They put out the album Bleeds back in September, and we're going to listen to the song Candy Breath. So they're from Asheville, North Carolina. Bleeds is probably my second favorite album from 2025. It really leans into the countryness of it all. I would call them the cornerstone of country gaze. People honestly just be making up genres, myself included. I admit I love it. but country gaze kind of blends elements of shoegaze, noise rock, and slowcore. I did an episode back in October about this. Carly Hartzman says that two of her greatest influences are the Sundays and Swirlies, kind of contradictory. MJ Lenderman, who I referenced earlier, was in the band, and he has some really great solo country gaze-esque releases, but he and Carly Hartzman were in a relationship for 6 years, and they broke up recently. Carly wrote an essay about their breakup, and I think it was posted in the New Yorker or the New York Post, one of those. I skimmed it a while back about how difficult it is to continue working with a former partner after you've broken up, especially like in a creative industry. The song Elderberry Wine is a reflection on the desires that she had for their relationship before it ended, and that must be one of the most challenging songs to perform for her. It seems like they're on good terms, obviously. There is some creative overlap. They've performed since, but, you know, it's understandably difficult for her. A note on Carly's songwriting on Bleeds is that I've always loved how experiential and also stream of consciousness it is compared to what I've heard of Wednesday before. It's kind of, it was definitely more narrative based. But I think there is still a bit of that present, but it's just not quite the same. It's very much her reflecting on her musings, and I feel like that kind of forms a narrative around, I don't know, the kind of things that she talks about are substance abuse and being stuck in a small town and kind of feeling stagnant and bored. It kind of all comes together in a really beautiful way, but I feel like I'm reading a page from her diary every song that I listen to. And I think like what sets Wednesday apart when we pick apart the country gaze subgenre is how other bands we might call slow court seem to more lean into that narrativeness. It's less fluid, I find. I picked the song Candy Breath because it rips, but my one bone to pick with this album is I wish it were a little less country and a bit more gazy, but I think that they really wanted to lean into more of the countryside of things. My favorite track, and if, you know, we run out of time, or quite the opposite, if we have more time, I'll play the song Pick Up That Knife. But yeah, we're going to listen to Candy Breath up next.
Ooh.
That was Candy Breath by Wednesday. Honestly, that song reminds me a lot of the song Shoegaze by Alabama Shakes. I guess you could call that song country gaze a little bit. It's a bit blues gaze. I'm sure that's a subgenre. I'm sure we could go down that rabbit hole if we so choose a later time. Up next, we're going to listen to some Kestrels off the album Better Wonder, Dream of You in Black. They're from Halifax. We love CanCon here at CGSF. I believe I found them digging through the crates here at CGSF. And so the frontman, his name is Chad Peck, it's really cute. He's an English teacher, and he loves to talk to his students about My Bloody Valentine. And he spoke in an interview that someone did with him that he loves to play covers with some of his students, which I think, again, adorable. We love spreading the shoegaze gospel. Better Wonder was on my rotation a lot, and it's their fifth full-length record. They've been around since 2007. I don't think I've actually listened to much more of them, so maybe this will encourage me to do so. You really do clock the MBV and Dinosaur Jr. references pretty well. I also kind of hear a bit of Sunny Day Real Estate. I've been listening to them a lot. They're on my rotation, but we can't get into that because we're talking about 2025 releases here. I found that it was like really well mixed, and I found out that John Agnello, I think his name is, was the engineer who worked with Dinosaur Jr. and Sonic Youth. Duh. But yeah, you know, like I said, we really love CanCon here at CGSF, and it makes me happy to support bands like Kestrels. That was Dream of You in Black by Kestrels off of their 2025 album, Better Wonder. Up next, we're going to listen to... We're going to listen to She's Green. It's been a while since I've been on the radio, I realize, because I don't know if you tune into my slot the last couple weeks, but I think I put on a show 2 weeks ago. It was like a rerun, and then the week after that, it wasn't one of my own reruns. So yeah, it's good to be back, but boy, I'm really out of my element here. She's Green. So they are from Minneapolis, and we're going to listen to the song Figurines off of Chrysalis, which came out last, July or something like that. They are definitely on the dreamier, reverbier side of things with fuzz in all the right places. I would put them in the shoegaze category because of that. They're kind of borderline dream pop, but in some ways, especially on Chrysalis. But it's a gorgeous, very melty EP. I was really looking forward to it after the first She's Green release. I definitely recommend it to those who aren't a fan of the post-rock, post-hardcore, heavy sounds of the bands I tend to favor on the show.
Thank you.
That was She's Green with figurines off of their EP, Chrysalis. We're going to listen to a couple PSAs here. As you know, at CJSF, we are completely commercial free, but we do PSAs to kind of fill that niche.